Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Music Business Podcast. I'm Kyle Boleyn, and of course, I'm joined by Courtney Harding.
Hello.
We have a special episode about the launch of Apple Music. I'm sure everyone was paying attention yesterday when Zane Lowe went live on the air and started checking his mic, and people started listening in. So, Courtney, you and I were right there installed on our phones, ready to tune in. What was your initial impression of Beats One Radio?
Well, I was confused by it because I didn't understand why they were playing Brian Eno, who I actually like, but they just kind of endlessly played Brian Eno, and then there were some random bursts of Zane Lowe mic checking. You know, I think some of it was I think it might have been a stunt of some sort, because, you know, his Twitter feed filled up and Ian Rogers was retweeting people saying, oh, I'm listening in Paris, I'm listening in Berlin, I'm listening in blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. Like, that's all well and good. I think if I was the average user who sort of clicked on Beats One Radio thinking like, oh, what is this? This sounds neat. I would have been confused and kind of put off by it. So would I have gone back? Maybe. I mean, but I think it was a weird, yesterday was plagued by weird missteps. And I think that was probably like a weird misstep.
Yeah. I don't think the average person would have understood that they were trying to like build anticipation for when it actually went live on the air, and that this Brian Eno track that basically was like the soundtrack to laying on the floor, staring at the ceiling, was like interrupted by some UK guy going, check, check, talking over the mic. Hey, we're ready, we hot, we're ready to go. I mean, in all reality, and this is probably the reality, they probably just wanted to make sure that the station was working when they launched and that it was live. And they had no other option than to just like, we're just going to leave the thing on. Nothing will break. It's working right now. The Apple correspondents in Mumbai say, thumbs up, we can hear Zane. And we're just not going to touch it. Otherwise, we're afraid that the Beats Music One launch is just going to be a total flop if, like, at 0 hour, it doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a possibility. I do feel like they could have just played a playlist or just played music or just, it just seemed weird to me. It seemed, you know, like, it seemed like part of a bigger problem, which is, you know, the iTunes update for your laptop or for your desktop was not available yesterday. I think I got mine this morning. So, you know, on launch day, you couldn't listen to it on your desktop, which I think is kind of a bad sign. You know, there, somebody was showing me last night, if you click through a certain series of things, you get all these buttons and none of the buttons were working. So, you know, it's things like that. It just, and again, I understand it's a new product. I understand there's always hiccups with new products. On the other hand, it's Apple. Like, you kind of expect a certain amount of buttoned upness from Apple.
Right. You would have expected a more polished launch where the iOS update is available, you download it, Apple Music is ready to go, Beats One Radio is teed up and is playing some kind of a hip indie band that Zane really likes, and he's maybe kind of talking over the track like he was later, saying like, hey guys, we're just playing a couple songs right now. Get ready at 9 a.m. for the exclusive launch of Beats One. Like, we're going to be with you in a minute. Just stand by, right? Would have been so easy for him to do that. And furthermore, like you're saying, like, a lot of us, by the time 10 o'clock came around, especially for me, I went to my office. And I'm in my office. I'm at my Apple computer. It probably would have been nice to fire up the brand new version of iTunes and continue my music listening experience that was taking place on my phone and carry that over to the computer. That would have been a perfect opportunity to show off the ecosystem that you're part of as an Apple customer and to get people tied into the fact that not only we're on your phone, we're on the desktop, we can do what Spotify can do just as good.
Yeah, there's been weird connectivity issues for me, or weird like portability issues. So I saved an album that I'd been meaning to listen to a playlist because I had to take the subway to a meeting this morning and I wanted something to listen to while I was on the train underground disconnected. So great. So, you know, I started listening to the track, and as soon as I went underground and lost connection, you know, the track stopped. I had to restart it. Then I get off the subway, walk up the stairs, get the connection back. The track stops again, and I had to manually restart it. So is it the end of the world for me to have to take out my phone and hit the play button? Of course not. Is it kind of annoying and kind of silly and kind of like glitchy? Yeah. And, you know, to Spotify's credit, I can listen to an offline cached album on Spotify, whether I'm connected or not. It doesn't matter. So, you know, there's a lot of bugs, I think, that still need to be worked out here. And I mean, Beats, they bought Beats over a year ago at this point. So, and Beats was a fully recognized, realized product. I mean, Beats, this was not like an idea that someone was building and Apple bought it to build it. Like, this was a product that was on the market and working, and Apple bought it. And I, you know, obviously made a lot of changes, but like the fact that it's like these little things, I'm just kind of like, eh, I don't know. I mean, again, it's a new product. I get it. But I kind of expected a little bit more polish.
You know, I experienced weird things like that as well. I mean, something as simple as like having to restart the Beats One station because it wasn't playing for some reason. Or yeah, like a track I was playing, when it went to the next song, maybe it didn't continue playing. I was like, oh, weird. Like, what just happened? And I have to kind of like look at my phone, hit play again, be like, oh, everything looks fine. Like, maybe my phone glitched. Not really sure. Was it Apple Music? I don't know. Another interesting thing that happened, though, on a related note is, so I have a 2013 Nissan Altima. In recent weeks, for some reason, when I plugged the USB to Apple connector into my phone, it didn't pull up the music on my phone. It's like, oh, shit, did I like break the USB connector? Is something wrong? You know, I'd go in and have to connect through Bluetooth instead, and then it would work. But when I got in my car on launch day and I had Apple Music teed up, my car instantly recognized that it had an iPod plugged in, you know, an iPhone, and started playing the music that I was listening to on the way to the car. And it was like, oh, this is not broken at all. This already integrates with my car. I'm just picking up where I left off. Whereas, you know, sometimes Spotify doesn't always do that. Like, for whatever reason, in my car, it still thinks my music device is an iPod, and it only plays well with Apple-connected services. So if it's a podcast or music, it'll bring up what I'm listening to instantly. But if it's Spotify or otherwise, for some reason, it doesn't have that level of integration.
That's interesting. I mean, that's not, obviously, being in New York, something that I've had to think about. But, I mean, I think that's a good point is, you know, a lot of people are going to be listening to the radio in their car, especially if they're listening to Beats Radio. And yeah, the fact that it's a pretty seamless integration in your experience is great. You know, I'm thinking about how this might compete with Sirius XM. And, you know, if it's, again, a very seamless baked-in experience, that's going to be hard for Sirius XM to compete with.
Well, and think of it this way, right? Like, today, we only have the Beats One station with the three DJs all around the world or whatever. But if this is successful and there is an audience that gravitates towards this live radio programming, there's a high likelihood that they're going to expand the number of stations that they're offering. And these stations are being offered for free. Certainly, they're going to take some amount of data. But if you're currently paying however much a month for Sirius XM radio, and now you have all these free Beats One radio stations available, maybe you're just going to be connecting to your phone and listening to those radio stations instead.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility. I mean, so I've been listening to Beats Radio a lot in the last 24 hours. I listened to it when I was running this morning. I listened to it when I was walking around earlier today. I was listening to it a lot yesterday as I was working and then out and about. So they have more than three DJs. You know, they have the three DJs that they are promoting, I think, are like the main DJs, but they definitely have a bigger stable of DJs. So that's good, because I would be worried about those three DJs just locked in a room forever. They also repeat shows. So like Zane Lowe's show is on at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for example, and it's the same show. So, you know, so they have some repetition there. And then they also have like the St. Vincent mixtape show, which I listened to a little bit and I actually found quite charming because I really like her and I liked the idea, and I like the letter that she picked and the whole sort of thing that she did and her playlist. So I think it's, I mean, it reminds me of a really good version of the indie channel on Sirius XM. But it is a huge mix of genres. And I think that's kind of new, at least in radio, which has been traditionally a very genre-driven format. So, you know, I think that's why people like Sirius XM is they can listen to a micro-genre. You know, it's not even like the classic rock genre. For my dad has Sirius XM, and it's like, it's not even like, oh, I'm listening to the classic rock station. He's like, I'm listening to 60s on 6. That's all he listens to. It's like a very set list of tracks, and he's totally happy with that. And this, like, you know, would be a hip-hop song, and then it would be the Rolling Stones, and then it would be something else. And, you know, it was an... And then they had a countdown show that I was listening to this morning, which was interesting. It sounded like Casey Kasem, which I used to listen to when I was a kid. But it was unclear to me how the countdown was put together, if that makes any sense.
Was it maybe like the iTunes music download chart? I mean, Apple has a ton of different charts that they could cobble together in order to make a countdown show.
No, I'm sure it's one of those. It was never made clear which one it was, right? So it wasn't like, oh yeah, this is the iTunes top 20, you know, top 20 most downloaded tracks. Great. Then I would have gotten it. But it's just like, oh, this is the top 20 show with such and such. I was like, okay, top 20 what? I mean, they were pop songs. So, you know, it's kind of like the Billboard Hot 100 type of stuff. But again, it was really sort of, we'll get into this later, but a lot of the things they say are like top and hot and new are very unclear as to why they are any of those things.
I think that's definitely an interesting like distinction. Like what does new, hot, trending, blogged about mean in this context, especially when you're talking to potentially 100 countries at the same time. One of the bands might be extremely popular in one of those places, but not be established in another, and vice versa. I mean, as we know, music often starts in one place and slowly spreads to another. So if, like, you were on top of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, that would have not been new music to a lot of the early adopters of that group. But, you know, once they went mainstream and Thrift Shop became a thing, then everybody knew what it was. And then it was no longer new. It was completely mainstream. It really kind of, you couldn't go anywhere without being exposed to it. My other understanding of the Beats music stations is that they're in these hour-long blocks.
Yeah.
Right? So I think the theory there is, like, how long is a given person going to tune in? And to what extent can we then switch it up so that in every time zone, we're playing something that's new, that's current, and going to be interesting to them? Like, we're not trying to, like, make the rest of the world wake up with Los Angeles. We're trying to have good content 24/7 that is reaching all of these different audiences at the times when they're most likely to enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, the Zane Lowe thing was, you know, 9 a.m. I'm not 100% sure of this, but I think it's, like, 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. EST. So I think that's how they're doing it, is they just have, you know, they have things airing twice a day. You know, you're probably not going to be listening to both. And, you know, I think a lot of radio programs air, you know, NPR certainly airs the same shows sometimes multiple times, or, you know, if they're airing stories on, you know, on the morning show, they'll air the same story every hour. And, you know, there's a lot of repetition on radio, and that's fine. One thing that was weird was there was a track played twice in a row, which was the Pharrell track. And I thought that was a very odd thing for him to have done. And that's generally like a rule in radio that people don't break. You don't play, you can play the same artist back to back. And someone did that this morning, but playing the same track twice in a row, I was like, okay, that's weird.
Yeah. I mean, for them to be repeating music on a station that doesn't need to is definitely kind of a weird like thing, right? Because they don't have to conform to the same rules of traditional radio. They don't have to try to like catch all the people in their morning drive with the same Taylor Swift song. They can play whatever they want, as many songs as they want. Obviously, they had to play the Pharrell Happy song more times than others, and they also had to pay lip service to the fact that AC/DC was now on the service. But yeah, to actually like repeat a song and or repeat it twice in a row, that sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I was sort of annoyed by Zane Lowe because after a while I was like, okay, shut up. Like, I am used to now radio being Pandora or being Spotify radio. I'm not used to DJs on my radio. So part of it is like, oh my God, why won't this guy stop talking? I get that it's the first day. I get that you're excited and you're live worldwide and yay. But you know, I was listening this morning and some guy, Jordan, had a show and Jordan sort of breaks in between tracks and he's like, oh, I was eating a brownie and it was really good and da da da. And I was like, I don't care. Sorry. Great. Like, you know, it's almost like a really, really great version of college radio.
The weird thing is, though, is that everyone around the world has the capability of tweeting at the DJ while they're live on the air. So, like, yeah. I'm sure a bunch of people, like, locked into that are like, I'm eating a brownie, too. That's so awesome. Or, yeah. Aha, brownies. And, like send a bunch of emoticons, right? Like, right. That's the other weird thing about this experience is that it's not just one radio station in one town. It's a radio station in 100 countries. And when you hear it through your earbuds on your phone, it's just like, it's just a radio station. But then you look on Twitter and you're like, whoa, there are people yeah. from everywhere who are listening to this. And if you follow Zane Lowe, he often retweets a lot of the things that are being tweeted to him.
Yeah. Which is why I don't follow Zane Lowe.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that he's just like blowing up Twitter all the time, especially when he's excited on the air. But that's also like kind of an interesting dynamic of like, will Apple ever try to bring some of that activity inside of the show itself or kind of make it more apparent that like, hey, here's the chat room that you can get into while you listen to the Zane Lowe show?
Well, they are taking requests, and there was something where Jaden Smith requested a song, and it got played, and that was big on Twitter. So yeah, they're taking requests, which I think is kind of interesting. Again, because like it's this very old school. It's a really interesting mashup of this sort of really old school radio stuff, which is really like DJ driven, DJ personality driven, multi genre, you know, request driven to a certain extent, like very social. You know, again, very sort of informal, you know, very chatty, with this newer, with the fact that it's like streaming. So it's like they've taken a product, which was actually very old, and they're like, okay, we're putting this on the internet. Yeah, I don't think it's new that there's people listening to the same thing all over the world. Like BBC Radio, you can listen to in any number of countries, right? I mean, you're not going to be interacting with it maybe as much, but like, you know, I've listened to KCRW in many different countries because I have the KCRW app and I really like it. So, you know, it's totally possible for someone in Cape Town or Tokyo or Buenos Aires to like have the KCRW app, tweet at Jason Bentley, be like, hey man, that was an awesome track. So it's not like that's not a totally new thing, but maybe Apple is really selling it as that. This is like worldwide radio, Zane kept yelling.
World One Live Radio, Zane Lowe here.
Yeah.
Something that I thought of as we were talking is that a few years ago, I actually had a short internship at a local radio station in Fargo, North Dakota. And me being the little whip smart kid who's reading all the books about the downfall of the music business, I'm like, oh, traditional radio is dying. No one wants to call in and request songs anymore. And he's like, dude, high school students won't stop calling us. They call and request songs all of the time. And I was just like, what? He's like, dude, getting your song played on the radio is so a thing that younger people are still engaged with. This is happening.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like I remember doing that when I was in high school, which is kind of a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, I think people are excited about that. And, you know, maybe people were interested in, or still are interested in, like Pandora and Spotify and this very, very lean back radio, because a lot of commercial radio has become A, kind of abysmal, and B, completely depersonalized. So, you know, if most of your local radio stations are either the Jack FM shuffler format or somebody syndicated from halfway across the country, you know, you don't have, like, you can't really call in to your local radio station if it's the type of station where everything is just syndicated programs, right? There's no local interaction. There's no local activity. So, I mean, maybe this is sort of what people have been searching for a while. It's not that people necessarily wanted this really impersonal radio. It's that you didn't have an option, right? Like, radio had gone so far in the direction of everything's impersonal, programmed by robots out of Clear Channel World HQ, wherever that is, that this is now sort of like, again, like, this is very, the DJ-driven multi-genre format is, like, super old, at least in the U.S. In other countries, I think it's more, you know, more relevant. Certainly, like, in commercial radio. Like, I guess, you know, KCRW to a certain extent does it, but they sort of stay within one lane and don't venture too far out.
You know, I think I've got this figured out. At some point, some guy named Chris in Ohio is going to call the hotline and say, hey, I'd really love you to play this Guns N' Roses song, Sweet Child of Mine. I'd also just love you to kind of send the song out to my girlfriend. I'd like to ask her to marry me. You know, Sarah, if you're listening right now, this song is for you. I love you. And if Zane Lowe plays the clip of this guy requesting the song and, like, asking his girlfriend to marry him, it's much different than your local radio station doing something cheesy. This is the entire world watching, and it's going to blow up on all the news outlets. Guy asks girl to marry him on Beats One Radio.
Yeah, no, it's a very, like, again, it's viral, right? So, like, the Jaden Smith requested blah, blah, blah track, like, that immediately went viral because, you know, it's Jaden Smith. But yeah, I can see, you know, other interesting viral moments happening on this. And, you know, I think it's also interesting to see, like, where the requests are coming from. So, you know, it's kind of cool if it's like, oh, here's a request from, you know, Lagos. Here's a request from Kuala Lumpur. Or here's a request from blah, blah, blah. Like, that's going to be super interesting. You know, they say worldwide, and I guess technically it's in 100 countries, so that's fairly, you know, that's not totally worldwide, but that's, you know, pretty far on the way there. But their offices are London, New York, LA. That doesn't feel as worldwide to me. That feels very Western, very English-speaking. Everything is in English. All of the DJs are speaking in English. All of the songs that I heard are in English. That's kind of a bummer. And, you know, maybe there are going to be sub-channels of, like, Beats One Radio France, Beats One Radio Russia, Beats One Radio whatever. But again, it comes back to this idea of, like, we're worldwide, but you got to speak English to listen.
Right. Well, I mean, there are many countries that love bands that don't even know the words, or vice versa, right? Like,
oh, yeah, totally. Oh, yeah.
So-and-so group is the biggest group ever in this country. And you're like, wait, how is that even possible? So, I mean, like, the Western world has influenced the developed world, or however you want to look at it. I think a really important question right now, Courtney, is, are we missing the Eminem interview right now? I feel like that was supposed to air sometime today. And I feel like we missed it.
Well, you know what's interesting is I don't know. And I didn't see anything on any of my socials about it. I also didn't get a push notification about it. I follow Ian Rogers on Twitter. So I would kind of assume that at least he would be tweeting about it. I haven't seen anything.
Right. I feel like it's supposed to be sometime today. See, I'm personally kind of excited about the notion of Eminem being interviewed on Beats One Radio with Zane Lowe, because I hear Zane Lowe is a great interviewer. I think, obviously, Eminem is a very relatable character that all of us grew up hearing his story about his mom and his wife and Haley. Like, He's like the sitcom that played out on an album, except for this sitcom was like a psychopathic killer who happens to be a white DJ or white rapper, if you will. But I think like what'll be very interesting is when you have Eminem live on the radio and everyone is tweeting about what he's saying. Everyone's tweeting at Eminem. Headlines are coming out about the thing Eminem revealed about his upcoming album or his new partnership with Dre. Like whatever it is, Eminem can announce things on this radio station. He knows everyone is paying attention right now, especially the media has close eyes on Beats One Radio. And I think going forward, when other major artists come on this station, the media has to pay attention. Like, what if Britney Spears says something? We need to know about it because it's our job to write blog posts about what Britney Spears says. Right? So like that alone is just going to continue to drum up attention for Beats One Radio because there's a whole rotating cast of interesting artists and really passionate fans. Like, come on, One Direction is going to break Beats One Radio and the fucking phone is just going to turn into a brick.
Oh yeah, no, they totally are. You know, maybe it'll be like Zayn and Zayn together.
Okay, now you're getting a little too zany, Courtney.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, so I'm assuming the Eminem thing has not happened just because my Twitter feed is not blowing up, but I don't even see it advertised anywhere in the app. I didn't hear any ads for it when I was listening this morning. I don't know. I mean, that's one thing that, again, they have to kind of work out is they kept saying, you know, go check the website for the schedule, which, yeah, fine. I get it. Like, you don't want to sit here and recite the schedule when you could be playing music, but a little bit more sort of, you know, and then we've got, you know, coming up next, we've got such and such followed by such and such. Like, I didn't really see that.
I mean, this is going to give them too much credit, but they're going to be able to set calendar alerts at some point if that ends up being like the most requested feature.
Yeah.
Send me a calendar alert when the Eminem show is going to air. What's that? We make the calendar on your phone, right? Like the level of integration, if they really wanted to do it, could be that deep.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's the next thing that they can get to is, again, yeah, calendar alerts, putting a show on your calendar, you know, just sort of all the stuff that they have their tentacles into on your phone already, you know, looking at like, what kind of date, what does your calendar look like? Are you really busy one day or do you have a chill day? Okay, so if you have a chill day, we'll play music that's more chill. If you have a crazy busy day where you've got like 20 meetings, maybe you want like music to pump you up in the morning. And, you know, like that's just sort of one somewhat clunky example. But, you know, maybe like, I don't know, your calendar's full of therapist appointments so they give you a cheerful playlist. Like,
so what you're reminding me of is the WNYC radio app. What you can kind of do is say, I've got 45 minutes. I'm interested in these topics. You know, I know about these shows. Go. And it instantly creates a 45-minute radio block customized for you in order to consume. I have to imagine at some point this would be a sick feature that Apple could do where you're just like, all right, give me 35 minutes of music and make it from the For You section, add a little bit of new, maybe add that short block with Dre earlier, like whatever. They can have like customized blocks of music and radio on a whole other level because they have 10,000 playlists that they can pull from and string together based on how much time you have to engage with the service or how long your given commute is. I mean, it's really kind of quirky to say, but can you imagine, you know, it's integrated with your calendar and Apple Maps, and as soon as your garage door closes, the last song ends, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. Like, you know, if it can integrate with Apple Maps, which is kind of a terrible product, but, you know, let's say Apple Maps gets fixed and becomes good. You know, one thing that would be really interesting, and this is kind of riffing, is, you know, I've been going out of town a lot this summer and driving up to different places on the weekends, and the traffic is always abysmal on Friday evenings in New York. It's just terrible and stressful and horrible. And, you know, if it can say, okay, it looks like you're trying to get out of New York because you've entered directions to the Catskills, and we can see from the traffic reports that it's, like, terrible, we're going to play you some really chill music to, like, de-stress you. And then it can read like, oh, you're going for like a day drive in the Catskills because you've mapped this out and there's no traffic and you're like cruising on the open road. Let's play music for that. Like that sort of really, and that to me gets back to the thing that we heard on a previous show, which is I want an app that I open and I push a button and it plays what I want. Apple Music is kind of the opposite of that. That's not to say they couldn't do something like that. And I want to go back to WNYC for a minute because this was something I loved in the radio section was WNYC is streaming in there. ESPN is streaming in there. As far as I can tell, those are the only two non-music stations. But again, like, I think that's awesome. I was like, Apple should buy iHeartRadio. And then all your radio is in one place.
I think that's like the definition of monopoly is owning the largest radio conglomerate in the United States.
Yeah. Antitrust, antitrust.
Then you really would have every DJ promoting the latest iPhone.
Yeah. No, that probably breaks some antitrust laws. Okay, every antitrust law. But
okay, let's step back from Apple buying iHeartMedia and step towards something we discussed before, which is Apple buys Gimlet Media, now startup podcast, mystery show, and Reply All are exclusive to iTunes Radio, now they're exclusive to Apple Music Radio. And they basically say, all right, Alex Bloomberg, we need 15 more shows from you. How many more staff do you need to create the next serial? And Alex Bloomberg names the highest number that he can think of. And they're just like, sure, go hire all your friends. Radiotopia, bring them in too, whatever. Like chump change to Apple to bring the best radio producers, podcast creators, public radio hosts, all into one place to create this content that is normally tied to like donations and stuff. But if Apple decides that Serial and This American Life are going to sell phones and get people really excited about using phones, of course they're going to do that. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, so the podcast app, which I use, is not very good. They definitely need to fix that. But yeah, I mean, that's potentially another interesting, you know, way to get an audience because there are probably a lot of people who aren't as into music as they are into podcasts, or they I like to listen to both. I like to go back and forth and toggle back and forth. And, you know, being able to subscribe to podcasts and Apple Music and then control your playlist that way.
Give me a little bit of talk, a little bit of music.
Yeah. Like I just want, you know, I want to hear this. I want to hear Serial. And then I want to hear, you know, this new playlist about this. And then I want to hear murder ballads, you know? Yeah. I mean, one thing that's to me interesting is I'm starting to move away from segmenting content, not just by genre, but by format. And there's no reason that like, you can't have everything in Apple Music. You can't have podcasts and talk and they've got ESPN Radio, but you know, other radio channels. And, you know, I feel like the more they can control, the better it's going to be for them.
I feel like in this moment, it's important to say something to the extent of like, Courtney, stop trying to build iTunes inside Apple Radio. It's already kind of confusing and cluttered. Stop trying to turn Apple Music into iTunes, right? Like,
but I'm not. Like, you know,
Spotify recently put podcasts and videos in their app, and it fit in kind of nice. I think the challenge, though, is like, it's already complicated the way it is to zero in on kind of music you want to hear. Adding podcasts would be its own kind of like animal. That being said, like, there would be a way to do it, and it could be interesting. I just wanted to point out that, like, given what we have today, where Apple Music stands, us talking about adding podcasts into Apple Music itself, I mean, it could work, and it could work very well. Intro to Serial, Intro to Moth, or whatever, right? Like, collections of podcasts? Ooh, that gets interesting. However, it is just worth at least putting the footnote there saying, like, maybe at some point, but hopefully not today, we have to remember that Apple acquired the lovely startup named Swell, and that eventually that technology should find its way to the podcast app itself. And Apple's not dumb. They know that they are the chief proprietors to podcasting. I hope they realize that their podcasting app isn't that great. And what they eventually do is turn it into a Pandora-style radio station that recommends you the best podcasts based on the ones that you've been listening to the most. You take away all of the subscriber model. You take away all of the episodic content. Play me something great right now, and I'll hook into the story. And you can do that with stories more so than you can do with music. Because let's be real, not everyone likes a specific song, but everyone loves stories.
Right. I mean, I guess for me, because of the way I consume podcasts, I'm a little different in that I have a couple podcasts that I like. I listen to every day. For me, you know, the way that I'm listening to music, which I realize is somewhat specific to me, is that I like playlists of podcasts. So if I'm on a 20-mile run, the last thing I want to do is have to stop and get my phone out because a podcast ended and I want to go to the next one. Or I want to be able to set it up so, like, you know, the first part of my run, I'm listening to this interesting podcast, and then I listen to music for a little bit, and then I come back to a different podcast. And then I, you know, depending on what I'm doing, to have that scheduled really seamlessly would be great. Now, you know, again, like, I'm probably a fairly unique use case. Not many people go on, like, 20-mile runs routinely. But I do think there are a lot of people where, you know, and again, this gets a little bit to another problem I was having with Beats One, which is, and again, I'm a unique use case. I was listening to it on my run this morning, and I kept hearing songs that I was like, oh, I really like this song. I really like this song. And I have no way to come back to the song. So I have to take my phone out. I have to be like, oh, this is such and such. And then it's not really clear to me, like, how I save that artist, how I move forward with that artist, you know, how do I follow that artist? How do I find their other stuff? I think there's a way to do that, but it's, again, it's very in-app. So when people are listening to radio, a lot of the time they're like in the car, so you shouldn't be losing your phone, or you're out and about, or, you know, it's a little hard to sort of make that connection right now with Beats One.
Yeah, it is this kind of weird notion that on your lock screen, there's a heart. So you can heart it, but when you do that, it doesn't go in your library. And to my knowledge, it doesn't go in your profile. Maybe there's a hearted playlist that they'll eventually start for you or something like that. Obviously, Spotify had the star system before. But you're right. Like, is there a quick way to heart, favorite, add the current song that you're hearing on Beats One Radio and put it in a place where you, like, you know where it went so you can find it later? The other thing I think you're talking about is just, like, the notion that in any given interaction within Apple Music, when you click, like, the menu for the song, I've seen some menus that took up over half of the screen and had at least 8 options under them. I was just like, whoa, who let 8 options float up on an on-screen menu? Like, you can do anything you want with this. Just try it now.
So let's talk about the option paralysis, because I think we've covered the radio stuff, and maybe we can talk about the other section, which is the news section. And the news section, to me, is like the very definition of, oh my God, there are so many options. What am I going to do? So the news section, you get, you know, at least under all genres, which is what I have it set to, you get, you know, first of all, the top thing is Taylor Swift's 1989, which, ha ha ha, you know, screw you, Spotify, I guess. But then you scroll, that sort of scrolls across, and you get a ton of different options there. Then you've got new music, which is a bunch of albums that came out this week. You know, none of, I guess because it's all genres, it's just like, here's the new stuff. None of them are customized for your specific tastes. Then you get hot tracks. Then you get recent releases. And by the way, 1989 came out last year. The AC/DC album came out like many years ago. And then Leon Bridges came out fairly recently. So I guess that's fine.
But no one on a streaming music service has heard it before.
That's true.
It is new to streaming music users.
It is recent for streaming music. Okay, fair enough. And then you get top songs, which, okay, top songs and hot tracks. I guess there's a difference. It is not clear to me what that difference is.
Because if it's a top song, wouldn't it also be hot?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure it's based on some algorithm. It's unclear what it is. And then you keep scrolling, you get hot albums, right? And then you get discovered on Kinect Audio. Well, I can kind of figure out what that is, but I don't know what that is. It's not made clear to me.
I mean, you're right that it's really like obfuscated. I mean, being the experts that we are, I think that it is music that these artists have uploaded to Kinect, and now they're surfacing it to you in the new section as something like people are discovering the ZID Demo V5 instrumental. That's very SoundCloud-y of you.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, that. I almost feel like that's the best you've got. Not to be mean, but like...
This is how you're leveraging the brand new service that everyone's really excited about, ID Demo V5.
Yeah, I'm like, Christ, even freaking Tidal could get like Alicia Keys exclusives. I mean...
The B-side of the B-side.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, these are just really random things. And then it's...
Oh, but Courtney, keep scrolling. Songza comes right up next.
Keep scrolling. Then you've got like Apple Music editors, their playlists, and then you've got a million different options. Activities, a million different options. Curators, okay. So yeah, Rolling Stone, fine. They have Vogue as a curator. Okay. And then discovered on Kinect Video.
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
And then recommended music videos, which, hey, look, there's Pharrell. And then you got summertime playlists, okay? And then you got new artists. And then you've got Spotlight on Sia. And then you've got Alternative Essential. And, like, you can click through that. And there's more to click through. And there's, like, if you click on Alternative Essentials, you have this, like, endless scroll of albums. And it is too much. So you wind up just, I wound up just sitting there scrolling and scrolling and just being like, oh my God, I can't even deal with this. And I'm a crate digger. Like, I liked going to record stores. I like digging for music. I like playlists. I like discovery. You know, I've been in the music business for 10 years. Like, and even I'm just like, oh my God, this is way too much. And then, like, I always use my sister as the test case. I just imagine my sister looking at this and being like, no, like, this is too hard. I'm going to go listen to Pandora, because Pandora, I type in blah, blah, blah artist, and I hit a button.
It's kind of like they designed all the other tabs, and they're like, well, how do we fit in everything else inside this tab? I mean, I would think that you could have, like, the Apple Music editors, activities, and curators at the top of the page. I think, you know, slightly below that could be recent releases or new tracks or a mix of both. And then maybe a chart or two. And then, only then, like the essentials and or a specific playlist that kind of maybe fits into like the time of year or something like that. But they're trying to cram so much into this page that it could be an app in and of itself. And many of these are apps themselves, right? Like, the curated section is Songza, the Kinect is SoundCloud, the videos are Vivo, the hot tracks, for being specific, is Twitter Music. There's just so much going on here. And then the essentials, I think, is really interesting because it's almost like, hey, in addition to all this music, we've also installed the greatest album deep dive that you can think of in this given category. And I'm looking at it and it's like, whoa, that's right. These are all really excellent records that I should probably listen to or know about, that maybe if you were just opening up for the first time, you would never think of playing. And I think...
But here's the thing. So the word essential sort of then becomes meaningless. I know that's like a very sort of semantics argument to trot out, but it's like, essential is kind of like unique in a way where, you know, everyone's like, such and such is unique. I'm like, no, it's not. And how essential can an album be when it's one of 300 albums that you sit there and scroll through? Like, I don't know. I mean, they're all good albums. Are they, like, what does essential even mean? And I know that's like a very nitpicky, linguistic-y thing for me to say, but, you know, if I'm like, I want the essentials, that means I want like a very small, digestible selection of something. That does not mean I want 100 albums that I have to scroll through and pick one.
Well, it's almost like they added a record store at the bottom just for good taste.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and I said this to someone, or I wrote this yesterday in the Q Point piece, I was like, you know, the people who built this service essentially are musicians and music industry people, and they're really incredibly smart, and they're really incredibly hardworking, and they are passionate about music, and like they are the people who would love this type of stuff, right? Like they are crate diggers. I can think of nothing that would be more fun than like going crate digging with Trent Reznor or Dr. Dre or Dave Allen or Ian Rogers or Jimmy Iovine, even though he might kill you. But not the vast majority of people are not crate diggers, right? Like the vast majority of people would go into Academy Records and be like, what is happening, right? There's a reason that Tower Records kind of went under and you started getting people going to like Target for records, because Target had a very small curated selection.
You know, they wouldn't be going inside the store to say what is happening. They'd be like, I'm looking for the one album. I think it has a blue cover. I think there's a horse in the name, maybe an animal of some kind. It kind of really sounds like that one band from Hype Machine, but I'm not really sure. And the store clerk is just like, oh my God, you abysmal human being. Like, here, let me find you that shitty record that you like.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, and you know, look, 90% of the people that went to Tower Records went to buy like whatever was number one that week, right? They got in, they got out. And, you know, Tower Records obviously had everything that was going to sell a lot up front. And then you could go crate dig if you wanted. But, you know, it was really just like most people were like, oh, NSYNC album here, done. You know, the big and again, like the For You section, which is the first section that a lot of people see after you hit those stupid bubbles, is, again, like a lot of the stuff in there for me, I like, and I'm like, oh, I want to listen to this. This is cool. But every time you refresh it, you get a bunch more stuff. And it, again, almost feels like, oh my God, how am I, it almost is like, how am I ever going to get through this? Like, here's a zillion playlists I want to listen to. And here's, again, it's like option paralysis. It's like, here's 50 cool things. How do I even attempt to get through this?
One album at a time, Courtney.
Yes.
I will say, though, I mean, the For You section, and we talked about this, it's pretty goddamn good.
Oh, it's awesome. My picks are like, I mean, you know, I got post-rock afternoon. Like, I've got a bunch of Sonic Youth stuff. I've got a bunch of, like, Elliott Smith deep cuts, which I'm like, oh my God, this is really, really good stuff. But again, it's like, I just kind of keep scrolling and keep scrolling. I'm like, this is days and days and days of music that I want to listen to.
And I think they're hoping for that, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, and I think, like, it's an interesting challenge, right? Because you're like, everyone gets lost on this idea of like, we have 30 million songs. But Apple is really saying, we have the 50 albums that you want, right? And every time you refresh, you're like, ah, that's right. The Black Parade album by My Chemical Romance. You know, I'd love to listen to that. It's somewhere in my collection in the, you know, music spreadsheet, if you will. But when I see that, I'm like, yeah, I'd listen to that. And that's what's kind of so intriguing about this is like, it's not like the hottest, newest albums. It's none of that. It's like, we think you're going to like Sum 41, Underclass Hero. It came out in 2007. We're pretty confident that you might click play. And I think there's something to be said about, they know these things about you based on what you've bought or favorited. And they're displaying things that you might not think in your head, like, yeah, I'm really looking for Blood Sugar Sex Magic by Red Hot Chili Peppers right now. Like, the only thing that's going to make my day is a little Blood Sugar Sex and Magic. But when you see it, you know, the iconic cover and everything, you're like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, what is it? Let me click on it. I haven't heard that in forever. Like, it really does have that kind of, like, nostalgia to it. It kind of has that, like, oh, what can I listen to? And you're like, oh, a ton of good stuff is here. Which is interesting to contrast this, by the way, with, like, the For You section is great, and the new section is just, like, a shit show.
Yeah, no, the For You, again, like, I'm looking at, you know, I'm scrolling through mine, I'm like, oh my god, yeah, that Jesus Lizard record I haven't heard in forever. Like, I'd love that record. Or, you know, there's, like, a Boredoms record, or, like, there's a Pussy Galore record that's really old that I'm like, oh my god, these are all things that I listened to at one point that I haven't listened to in ages that I probably wouldn't have gone back and, like, oh, I want to hear Pussy Galore right now. But now I'm like, yeah, I really want to hear that. That's awesome. So
here's my question. Had they customized the new section kind of like the For You section, would it just be, like, overwhelming because you just be like, oh my god, all the new music by my favorite artists, here are the hottest tracks, here are the recent releases? Like, I think that would have been an entirely different experience. That's not to say that it's still not a shit show and that there's too many options, but had it been personalized, that becomes something different, right? Because it's not all this stuff that you're unfamiliar with. It's not the spotlight on Sia. It's like, here's the spotlight on the new Fort Minor song that came out. We saw that you favorited Linkin Park. By the way, you know, Mike Shinoda is kind of like getting back in the groove again. You're like, ooh, that's a song I've been meaning to listen to. I read about it online. You know, that gets into a whole other world of, like, music services aren't that great at telling you when artists you like put out more music.
Yeah. So with the new section, you can sort by genre, which does narrow things down a little bit, right? So, like, your default is all genres, and that's the page that's, like, endless scrolling with a billion options. But you, like, I just set it to indie, and it was like, okay, it's a little more manageable. It's still a bunch of charts and spotlights and squares and rectangles and this and that, but it's a little less overwhelming. But you're right. I mean, that's one of the things that I find is I miss new stuff all the time because, you know, unless people I know are telling me about it, I don't know that, you know, so-and-so is putting something out. And there's a lot of artists that aren't great on social media. And yeah, I miss stuff all the time. So again, I feel like there's room in there for more notifications. There's room in there for, like, oh yeah, so-and-so put something out. So-and-so is doing this. Like, you know, we haven't even gotten to talking about, again, the fact that Apple is, like, a really walled garden. And how great would it be if it was, like, they had some sort of Amex presale for Apple Music subscribers. So they would send you a push notification that's like, Sleater-Kinney tickets go on sale tomorrow. Do you want in? Something like that. Like, that to me would increase the stickiness tenfold because you're like, oh, I get all these cool deals. Because just to talk about the Connect feature a little bit, that feels very, very undercooked. And the content that I'm seeing on the Connect features is, like, kind of not great. And I feel like you can only ask artists for so much exclusive content before it either just A, goes everywhere else, like we've seen with what Tidal was doing, or B, it's so, like, dumb that it's kind of like, okay, why am I sticking around to, like, FKA Twigs is practicing her choreography. This is a video that's on her Connect page. I'm like, that's nice. I kind of don't care, you know? And again, it's one of those things where, you know, and then you have the problem of a lot of artists like Sonic Youth. You know, great, I get this weird live track from 10 years ago. It was my Sonic Youth exclusive. I'm like, I don't care. And Sonic Youth's not around, and the two principals in the band hate each other's guts. So now what are you going to do? You know, and I just feel like maybe there's a way to make Connect stickier that's not the same old, like, here's some exclusive content. Here's a live demo. Blah, blah, blah. It's just like,
What's weird, though, for example, is that in my Connect feed, I'm seeing that Eminem posted the phenomenal music film teaser. I'm like, okay, I have no idea what that is. I know Phenomenal is one of his new songs. But there are 9,589 hearts, and there are 1,484 comments. And, you know, just for posterity, let's read them. This is cool, and the interview is great. I like this song. Eminem can't act. This looks bad. You are the best at rapping, and I'm a huge fan of your work, and you are a... Ooh, what does that say? Asshole? Love the song. What's up, people? Brilliant. No, but this is interesting, though, right? Because this is like the feed of, like, mainstream America going, like, Eminem.
No, I mean, like, you know, no matter what you put out, there's going to be a bunch of people liking it and commenting on it and being like, this is cool. Yay. I just feel like it's, right now, Connect does not feel like it adds that much value to me. There's a way they could add value, but they're not doing it right now. And they're still, again, getting to the bigger problem, which is there are a lot of bands out there that, like, don't have that much to connect to. You know, it's either stuff that's really old, stuff that no one cares about, they're too obscure, like, you know,
Let's be real, though. I have friends that are paid to update the social media accounts of dead musicians.
Yes, I have.
There are entire firms of people who make sure that the Van Morrison page is well populated with sticky, interesting content. These are problems that get solved pretty quick.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, listen, most artists that are artists that have been around for any amount of time have, like, a vault of stuff, you know? Yeah, I mean, the Doors have been releasing stuff for 40 years now.
Just wait until Tupac joins Connect.
Oh, my God. But again, it's like, how many Doors B-sides and re-releases? And, like, again, I know there's kind of an endless appetite for some of this stuff, but, you know, are people really going to care that, like, here's a demo from 20 years ago that we dug out of our vault? I mean, there are some completists, but I don't know how many.
Right. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, it's just kind of, like, an interesting point to raise, right? Which is that, like, I agree, the feed feels really kind of half-baked right now. Right now, I don't really have that compelling of content, but one can imagine that as music videos are debuted in the feed and exclusive songs, that it's going to pick up some amount of traction if high-value stuff like that has started to surface. And I think, like you said earlier, like the following model and like how to get more artists in this page isn't clear right now, or as clear as it should be. Like, apparently, I think I just figured it out live, which is that, like, on the upper left-hand corner of the Connect feed, there's, like, this little head. Then you go to, like, the following part, and under Find More Artists and Curators, you can see who you're all following. And I think, oh, there it is. You can find the list of recommended people. However...
Oh, I didn't get a recommended list. I just got a list of people that I was following. Half of them, I'm not sure why I was following.
Yeah, it looks... If you click on Find More Artists and Curators, Carrie Underwood, Foo Fighters, the list is very short, though, which kind of hints to me that maybe not a lot of artists are actually connected up, which would be its own interesting headline. Like, why isn't this fully populated with every single artist that... is in my collection or available on iTunes Music right now? Like, where's Pharrell? Like, why am I not being recommended to follow Pharrell as, like, the first person to get alerts about?
Yeah, or why weren't these pages sort of at least somewhat built? Like, you know, pulling from All Music Guide or pulling from, you know, any other source, right? So I could, even if it's a band that's really obscure, that's been broken up for 10 years, or it's like, I don't know, Elliot Smith, dead for 10 years, more... You know, it's like, okay, I could still follow him and get some sort of, like, a page that's got, like, here's some photos, here's some songs, here's a bio. Okay, I'm following him and maybe it'll get updated. But it seems weird that, like, everyone that's recommended is someone that I have no connection to or affinity for. Like, they've done such a good job recommending stuff to me in terms of the For You section that's, like, really great stuff. And then I'm getting recommended, like, One Direction and Maroon 5, which is completely outside the scope of anything that I'm interested in.
I mean, as a willing reporter and research participant, you really should follow One Direction just to see what happens.
Zane on Zane.
Let's get zany.
Let's get zany. We'll take Zane puns the rest of the day.
But yeah, I mean, so that covers Connect. We've talked about the new section. We've talked about For You. We've talked about radio. My music is pretty straightforward. I mean, it just has your most recently added albums or songs. And then there's this like sorting function where you can sort by the artists, albums, or songs in your collection. And then if you swipe, which is, I guess, its own kind of like mechanic, you're like, well, you can swipe and then you can click and you can filter. And it's like, oof, there's a lot of UI here. But mix it up. Find some great playlists for you or make your own here. Oh, wow. And it's like add a title, add songs. Can I genius this? I don't think I can.
And then, you know, the thing we also haven't talked about is the bubbles.
Oh, the bubbles.
The bubbles. Yeah, so they got rid of the sentence, which is good. Apparently, the scuttlebutt inside Apple was like Trent Reznor really fought for the sentence because that was like his baby. But they killed it. So, you know, maybe we'll get an angry song about that in a few years. Somehow, I don't think so, though.
Bow down to the apple you deserve.
Yeah, no, somehow Trent's like, I'll just take my pile of money and go back to my castle, and I'll let it slide. But who knows? Maybe once he's, you know, fully vested, we'll get some angry tweets. But yeah, they kept the bubbles.
Well, I mean, instead of the sentence, we just have the paragraph that is the new section.
Yeah. So, yeah, so the bubbles, the user experience with the bubbles, again, for me was confusing, and I'm someone who knows about this stuff. So I can't imagine being like Joe Average on the street and being like, wait, I have to click the bubbles that I like and double click the bubbles that I don't like. And what am I doing? Like, it was very, very, like, I was like, why don't they just have a list of genres? Like, why did they have to get clever and cute and make bubbles? Like, they're clever and they're cute and it serves the exact same purpose to just scroll through a list of genres and pick some. So yeah, I just thought the bubbles were kind of weird. And then you get more bubbles, and then you're finally done with the bubbles.
The other weird thing about the bubbles was that, like, I feel like when we did the bubbles on Beats Music, that the artists I was being recommended were so glaringly obvious that you almost just had to click them anyways. And some of the bubbles here, I was like, who the hell is that? Like, why is that bubble being recommended? And then I kind of like coyly thought, like, did someone pay to have a bubble?
So that actually brings us to a whole other really interesting topic, which is, you know, it is not transparent at all how stuff appears in streaming services. And this is not just an Apple problem or an Apple Music problem or a, you know, this is sort of a bigger issue, I guess. I don't know, problem. But like, when you look at who is on playlists or who is featured on these pages, you know, I think people have an expectation that it's organic or that it's an editor picking it. But, you know, don't forget, people paid for end caps when there were record stores, right? Like, you didn't just get your album on the end cap because the record store owner thought you were neat. You got it because you put money into it. So one thing that I have yet to hear anyone really talk about is, what is the financial situation in terms of getting your stuff on playlists, getting your stuff in a bubble, getting your stuff at the top of the screen? You know, does Beats Radio abide by the same rules as terrestrial radio when it comes to payola or not? Like, is online radio that is not just machine learning governed by the same payola rules? Like, could I just buy a bunch of spots on iTunes or on Beats Radio if I'm a label?
You know, just the funny thing that's like emerging in my mind is this kind of notion that, like, we all know the picture of the old record school guy going to the local DJ who's like, hey, got some tickets. You want some tickets to the show? You want baseball tickets? Like, what's the deal here? But when you have like the record industry guy or the radio promoter guy going to the Apple Music curator, you're like, I could use a new Tesla. That would maybe work. Like, what about those Google glasses? Give me an Explorer pair and we'll think about putting your playlist on. You know what I mean? Like, these aren't like people who are, you're kind of like lowly but happy and excited DJ. these are employees of the largest like corporation in the world, and they're being paid really well, I imagine.
Well, A, we don't know, right? Look how many investment bankers did incredibly stupid things because $1 million a year wasn't enough. They wanted $10 million. You know, I mean, there are plenty of people who are well paid and still take bribes and do stupid shit. And C, you know, fine, like Zane Lowe probably does pretty well for himself. But a lot of these lists are put together by people who are editorial curators who might not make that much money. They might be freelancers. Like, Apple was hiring a ton of freelancers to put together a lot of these lists. I mean, if you're a freelance, and I say this as someone who was a freelance music writer, you don't get paid a lot of money. And, you know, I don't know any of this. I'm not accusing anyone of this. I am just sort of, you know, thinking aloud here, like, you know, what's to say, like, what are the rules governing this? Like, how editorially independent are these lists?
I mean, I mean, the first joke I was going to make was like, so kids, there's this thing called greed and there's this thing called money. And when you have a lot of influential people who are both very greedy and want money, they exchange goods in order to get services, often music placements in one of the world's largest streaming services, to date or soon, right? I read online once that someone called Apple Music Jimmy Iovine's wet dream, because now you owned the radio station, now you owned the streaming service. You don't have to worry about all this like behind the doors dealing of like getting the radio promoter to like go to the radio station or anything. You're just like, oh yeah, that's right. My 30 guys that I hired are curating all this music for us. If my buddy Doug Morris puts in a phone call and needs the new song as part of the new music playlist on the front page, I'm going to pick up the phone.
Yeah, I mean, there's never, look, I mean, I've been in that world and the edit side of things. And yeah, I mean, there's none of it's pure, right? There's always, there were crappy artists I wrote about because their publicist also repped a good artist that I wanted to write about later. I never took bribes, but, you know, it's, none of it's ever that pure. But then again, money never exchanged hands, right? So I think that what I'm curious about is, and again, this is not solely Apple Music's problem or Apple Music's issue, it's what are the rules governing this? Because that's really unclear. And I think, you know, a lot of people have this idea that like, oh, stuff gets played on radio because it's really good, which is not true at all. As anyone who has ears knows. But like, you know, I think it's almost a weird like competitive disadvantage if you are on terrestrial radio and you can't accept something that you could on streaming radio.
Well, Courtney, I think those are all excellent, excellent points. And this probably concludes our extra special Apple Music edition. Do you have any final thoughts you want to share about the service or any of the feedback you've seen online?
Yeah, I mean, I like Beats One Radio a lot. I'll probably continue to listen to it. I like the service. I think it's better than Spotify. It's, again, not exactly what I'm looking for, but I always also kind of go back to, like, if 10 years ago you'd said to me, or even, you know, 7 years ago, you know, after we had smartphones, you'd said to me, yeah, there's going to be an app where all the music in the world is on this app and you can listen to it anytime and only pay one monthly fee, I would have been like, holy shit, that's the greatest thing ever. This changes everything. And now I'm sitting here with that app several times over in my hand and be like, I don't really like the layout. There's too many playlists. So, you know, listen, like, I'm fully aware that like streaming music and the fact that we have these apps is like kind of an incredible thing. But first you get something and then you just criticize the hell out of it. So yeah, I mean, I think my final thought is I'm going to keep using it. I've got my free trial. In 3 months, I'll see.
You know, I'm on the same page. I mean, one, I called my book Promised Land because this whole concept occurred to me, which is that had you went back in time to young little Kyle and said, look, look, there's this thing called an iPhone with Spotify and it'll play all the music you want forever. You're just like, whoa, it's like torrents, but in my phone. You're like, no, 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 there's no downloading. You stream it. And you're just like, what? That's insane. I don't have to download anything and all the music's there. And it's how much per month? Here's my $9, right? Like, but when you grow up and you like are paid to have thoughts on Apple Music, well, let's be real. No one pays us to have these thoughts. But when you grow up and you have thoughts about Apple Music, you're just like, oh, this isn't as good as it could be, or this page and this navigation is weird. I mean, and you're like, because you have this perspective on what this means or could it mean, it kind of like takes away from the whole enjoyment that you can have and the excitement about it. But at the same time, we both like giddily read through our For You section. We're like, there's more music here to listen to than I know what to do with. And I'm like, you know what? I had a similar thought. And I think that's more than I could really say about where Spotify has taken their service, which is that it's extremely playlist centric. It's very based on time of day and a particular activity and mood. And I understand that this is how the populace thinks about music, but at the same time, surfacing the right records at the right moment can get someone excited to listen to the music from their high school year or any number of other seminal things. And I think, if anything, Apple is hitting on that and hitting on it well, especially in the For You section.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, I mean, like, again, Apple Music is pretty good. Like, I listened to Beats One Radio this morning and I was like, this is great. They're playing really interesting stuff. I didn't like all of it, obviously, but I liked a lot of it. The St. Vincent thing was like so charming and so fun and really well done. And I was just like, this is great. This is really awesome. And, you know, one of my complaints about Spotify is Spotify is too driven to the new. So all I'm served on Spotify is like, here's new stuff, here's new stuff, here's the stuff that came out today, here's the stuff that came out last week. You know, and again, like, that's cool, and I like discovering new music. But what's nice about the sort of For You feature, at least the results I was getting, was like, oh my God, I liked this album when I was in college. Oh my God, I liked this album when I was in high school. Like, this album reminded me of the summer of 2006. Like, all this different, and there was some discoverable stuff sprinkled in there. So that mix, to me anyway, felt much better and much more interesting than Spotify's sort of like, here's all the new shit, here's all the new shit, listen to the new shit. That sort of accelerated, sped up, like, gotta have the new thing. Like, the stuff that they're serving here is much older, and I think that's kind of enjoyable for me.
All right, Courtney, so what are your final thoughts on Apple Music?
Final one. I mean, 3 month free trial. Try it. Why not?
Done. Same here. Well, awesome, interesting discussion about Apple Music as always. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the show and hearing our thoughts about Apple Music. We look forward to hearing your thoughts as well. Feel free to reach out to myself or Courtney on Twitter. I'm at Kyle Belin on Twitter, and Courtney is at Courtney Harding.
Yeah, and that's Courtney Harding on Twitter. Don't spell my name wrong.
Suppose I better do the same. That's Kyle, Bylin, byline without the E, on Twitter.
All right. Thanks, everyone.